All right, what is going on, Laker fans? Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll go 1 hour of Los Angeles Lakers basketball. Regular season is over. Well, it's kind of tough to argue with D'Angelo Russell there. We're just the better team. I don't think that part's a question against the Lakers and the Pelicans. A little bit of a surprise yesterday. I did not think that game was going to be a blowout. Very, very impressive 48 minutes for the Los Angeles Lakers. It obviously leads us to a play-in game tomorrow. What an exciting time of the year. Honestly, I didn't think before the season started that the Lakers would be in the play-in. I thought they would have a better record. I thought the season would go better. But they finished 12 games over 500, so it's not like they had a bad season or anything along those lines. It's just so many other teams were competitive in the Western Conference. They obviously dug themselves a hole, so we're going to spend a lot of time getting into it. So just give everybody an idea what we're going to do today, or we're going to do on tonight's show. Just kind of recapping a little bit how we got here, how the Lakers ended up with the number 8 spot. Just these last couple of days, it's how crazy these last couple of days were. The domination from the Lakers against the Pelicans and what led to that. The conversation about Lakers potentially going up against the Denver Nuggets. I know that conversation's already started. I got some thoughts on Anthony Davis. I got some thoughts on D'Angelo Russell. We'll talk about some of these NBA stories and some of these first-round matchups. That's all going to be good as well. And another thing I'd really, really, really like to do tonight, I want to hear from Laker fans. You know, I know when we're doing all our local shows, a lot of the time we got a bunch of different people that are on the mic, and maybe we can't get two calls like we'd like to, but a show like this, of course it's all about calls. So 877-710-ESPN. How do you guys feel about tomorrow? If you guys have thoughts on the theory that we've heard from some people about, no, why don't we, let's not go all in tomorrow. Let's get into that number 8 spot and try to avoid the Denver Nuggets. We can get into all that. So feel free to call in if you guys got some thoughts on it. We're also live on YouTube, by the way. Okay, so recapping how we got here. The Lakers finish the regular season, and they end up in the number 8 spot. Of course, the 7-8 game tomorrow against the Pelicans. It took 82 games for the Lakers to finally move. I know they moved for a quick second. It was for about 3 hours, and then they had the 8th spot. Everybody got excited, and then Bron couldn't play. The final week for the Lakers was just awful. It was that Sunday game. Bron couldn't go against Minnesota. AD ends up being out for the final 3 quarters of that game. Then AD can't go against the Warriors. Bron comes back. Lakers barely beat the Grizzlies. I'll get into that in a little bit. And then the way the Lakers finished things off yesterday was kind of fitting. When these guys are ready to go, they're ready to go. They're as good as any team out there in the NBA, or definitely one of those upper teams in the NBA, one of those teams that you could look at and say they're dangerous. But this is kind of exactly what you were hoping for. And I know the path to get here was not perfect. I know the path was all over the place. I know the path at times was very, very frustrating. I mean, just think back. If you look at the Lakers' season starts, and all right, they clearly don't know what kind of starting lineup they should use. D'Lo taken out of the starting lineup, moved to the bench. Austin Reeve taken out of the starting lineup, moved to the bench. Jared Vanderbilt, we've barely seen this entire year. Gabe Vincent, we've barely seen this entire season. It's kind of a weird flow to the year. And then I think once we got to about mid-January, and it felt like the Lakers had a good idea of what they were going to do with the starting lineup. And I think once that portion was solidified, then the Lakers started rolling. I always see this, and it's actually one of my favorite things to read off during the pregame show. During the pregame show, the Lakers send out, typically they will send out the starting lineups. And the starting lineup will actually show, okay, this starting lineup together, this is what their record is. So the way the Lakers finished off the regular season, which also was a little frustrating that it took the Lakers this long to solidify what that starting lineup was going to be, D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Rui Hachimura. Since the Lakers decided that's our starting five, they went 18-6 with that crew. So I know a lot of people are sitting back and saying, why didn't they just do that from the beginning? You're not wrong, by the way. And I think there is some frustration of, well, if they would have done that from the beginning, maybe they're not playing in a play-in tournament. Maybe they would have avoided the Denver Nuggets to begin with. And who knows, maybe they'd have been in that 4-5 seat, something along those lines. We can't look back. We have no idea how it would have gone. But That's kind of what I'm referring to, the ups, the downs, the confusion. But how we got here was very interesting of just the last couple of days. Think about Friday night for a quick second. Friday night, Travis and I were talking about this morning. I genuinely believed Friday night, I thought the Lakers were going to lose to the Memphis Grizzlies. Not before the game, not at halftime, not in the third quarter, but in the fourth quarter, there's 2 minutes left to go. Lakers are down one. I mean, you talk about playing with your food, and Friday just looked, I felt like by the time Friday was done, I'm like, I don't think they care about moving up to the eight spot, because Friday night's performance didn't make you think that they cared about moving up to the number eight spot. They got so lucky that they won that game. I was reading off to Michael Thompson in the pregame show. I said, Michael, let me read off to you all 13 of these players. And I was reminding, you know, anyone listening to that pregame show that those 13 players, that's not the roster of the Memphis Grizzlies. Those are literally the players that are all not playing. Eight of their nine best players were out of the game. Rotational guys, guys that have been, you know, I know the Ja Morants of the world, but even players, Jaren Jackson Jr., Desmond Bane, other guys that have just been a part of the team all year, they were all inactive. And Lakers, on Friday night, I was convinced. I'm like, I don't think they care about the number eight seed. And then you still had a game. The Warriors still had to play their game. Sacramento still had to play their game on Friday night. And by the time Friday night was done, Lakers had moved up to number eight by barely beating a Memphis Grizzlies team. And then it just came down to one game that the Lakers were going to have against the Pelicans on Sunday. And I thought it was going to be a real battle. Let me kind of walk everybody kind of through this, because I think it's interesting what was happening on Friday night. It was also setting the table of, hey, because the Phoenix Suns beat the Sacramento Kings, well, now that Pelicans game means something to New Orleans, because now New Orleans, they're not guaranteed. That's not a lock that they're in that number 60. They're going to play the Lakers with absolutely everything that they have. And leading up to Sunday, I thought it was what unbelievable drama. I think about the NBA for a quick second here. The drama around the NBA on Sunday. First off, how great was it that there was still so much to be determined? I was trying to explain to Michael yesterday in the pre. I'm like, all right, Michael, let me kind of break down what happened today. He's like, don't even bother. He's like, I'm going to get a migraine. He was right. I mean, I was getting a migraine trying to figure out all the different scenarios as well. But how cool was that, that all the Eastern Conference games were at 10 a.m.? All the Western Conference games were at 12:30. There, I'm sure you could try to scoreboard watch, but it was going to be irrelevant. It was just going to come down to Lakers and the Pelicans, and there were other games that were meaningful as well. The Suns and the Minnesota Timberwolves were a big game. Obviously, Sacramento and Golden State had to win. OKC and Denver had to win as well. And all that was kind of the lead up to the game yesterday against the Pelicans, and it was arguably the best game that I've watched the Lakers play all year long. I was wrong on yesterday's game. I thought this was going to be a close game. I had been watching the Pelicans for the last week win at Phoenix, win at Golden State, win at Sacramento. I was watching a team that looked like they'd won four games in a row on the road. They looked desperate. They looked hungry. They looked like they wanted to avoid the play-in tournament. Brandon Ingram was coming back. And they looked so outmatched against the Lake Show. Lakers dominated, just owned the Pelicans from start to finish. I think that's why, you know, when people say that this is why the Lakers can be dangerous, yesterday was a really, really good example of when the Lakers are clicking, not too many teams in the NBA that can hang with that team. There really isn't. And I know it was just one game, but it felt like the Lakers came out, and I think LeBron is definitely the one that set the tone. It definitely felt like the Lakers came out. You could feel in the first 5-6 minutes, even at the end of the first quarter, Ingram hits a three over Anthony Davis, and I think they pull to within four, and then something happens. Torian Prince gets two free throws. Okay, Lakers were up six by the end of the first quarter. But you just felt like how tough it was for the Pelicans to get a shot off. How Zion looked unbelievably confused with the Lakers' defense. He's got LeBron guarding him. He's got Anthony Davis playing free safety. He's got Rui Hachimura hanging around. I just thought the way the Lakers dominated the Pelicans yesterday was so impressive. I thought Bron, let me kind of talk about Bron here for a quick second. How great was he? How great was LeBron James yesterday at age 39 doing what he's doing? LeBron, 13 assists in the game yesterday against the Pelicans. His full stat line, I want to read it off because I still think it's incredible. I don't think we've ever seen anybody at this stage of his career doing what he's doing, so I'm going to continue to give credit where credit's due. But LeBron gets 13 assists in the first half, ends up with 28 points, 17 assists, 11 rebounds, had 5 steals, and was guarding Zion. I know he didn't guard Zion the whole game, but he definitely kind of set the precedent for the Lakers that, yeah, this is not going to be a game, and there's nothing that anybody can do about it. I go back to it as one of the most impressive performances I've seen from the Lakers all season long. I thought the other guys, everybody played well. I was giving D'Angelo, listen, I wasn't being critical. I was just talking about the last three games. D'Lo had been struggling shooting-wise for the last three games. He was 10 of 38 leading up to Sunday. Yesterday, 19 points, 4 assists, hit 5 threes for the Lakers. Austin Reeves contributed with 20. AD, another day at the office with 30 and 11. And then Rui and Torian Prince were good as well. And I thought Spencer Dinwiddie was good as well. You know what I walked away with yesterday's game? I walked away basically just saying to myself that you can't play like that every night, but sometimes the Lakers, and I don't know how much of this is just, it's an 82-game grind. We could churn it on when we want to. Maybe it's just a really bad matchup for the Pelicans because the Lakers have so much size and where the strengths are for the Pelicans. Certainly what they tried doing yesterday with Zion ended up being a weakness for them because the Lakers have so many players that they can switch off of. They got the size. AD is able to roam. They really didn't use some of the guards the way I thought they should have, which I'm sure tomorrow is going to be a completely different game. But that looked like a dangerous team. That looked like a team that was not messing around, know what time of the year it is, saw an opportunity to grab that number 8 spot and took it. They did it on the road. And at one point, they were up 32 against the Pelicans in a game that was also on point to New Orleans. So very, very impressive team performance from the Lakers yesterday. That kind of gives you a little bit of idea how we got from the start of the regular season all the way to the end of the regular season, and here we are now. Lakers got a chance tomorrow to punch their ticket to the playoffs and potentially, if they do that, take on the Denver Nuggets. Okay, let's do this when we come back. A lot of conversation, and I'm not surprised, it started yesterday when the Minnesota Timberwolves lost to the Phoenix Suns. It moved around that top three order. Actually, it all started on Friday night when Denver lost after being up by 23 against the San Antonio Spurs. They lost the opportunity to be the number one seed. They're that now the number two seed. Let's play out some of these conversations that have been going on between the Lakers and potentially the Denver Nuggets in the second round. We could do that here in just a second. But before we do, Lakers Talk is presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Rush into your neighborhood Valvoline and let the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and game-winning coupons. Valvoline, proud partner. So easy to get the job done as far as getting your car serviced, so make sure you take advantage of that. All right, if you're out driving around or you're listening on the ESPN app, ESPN LA app, let's talk some Lakers basketball. Shoot me a call, 877-710-ESPN. We'll take some of your calls coming up next. I want to talk about Lakers and what happens if they win tomorrow. I also think, by the way, tomorrow's going to be a lot tougher of a matchup. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Lakers Talk presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Rush into your neighborhood Valvoline. Let the expert technicians make sure your ride is in peak performance. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and game-winning coupons. Appreciate their partnership on the show. Lakers, a complete ass-kicking. Can I call it an ass-kicking? I think it was basically an ass-kicking. Yesterday, the complete domination by the Lakers against the Pelicans. By the way, I don't think that's going to be the same script tomorrow. You got to imagine – whatever Willie Green and the Pelicans came in on Sunday, they burned all that paperwork and whatever game plan was out there. It can't be the same game plan. Obviously, the Lakers did what they did, and now they're going to counter, and we'll find out how they approach that game tomorrow. But this could just be one of those things. I feel like there's two different classes in the NBA. Styles, that's a better way to put it. Not classes, because the top-tier classes in the NBA are the Celtics and the Denver Nuggets. That's your elite of the elite, and then you could kind of going down from there. I know Minnesota, OKC, I know these other teams have had great records, but until they do it in the playoffs, I just don't think they're going to be there. Okay, let's put that to the side for a quick second. Styles. The Lakers play a very unique style. They can bully ball you. They can just – the reason why I think the Warriors can't beat the Lakers, they don't have that size. They just don't have that size. They just don't have that length. That's a big problem. The reason why the Pelicans, the Lakers, are a big-time headache to the Pelicans, same thing. That's size. You know what would be a good series? The Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors. Maybe the Kings are a bad example, but now because they got a couple of their injuries. The Pelicans and the Warriors could be a good series. There are certain teams. I think the Minnesota Timberwolves can hang with anybody because they got a good balance of size. They have a good balance of length. They have a good balance of scorers, veterans. The Oklahoma City Thunder seem undersized. So there's certain styles in the NBA, and whichever one that you fit, the one that's closest to kind of a combination of the two is I think the teams are going to have the most success, and I think they're the teams that the Lakers can give headaches to because they don't have that size, and I think that's what happened to the Pelicans yesterday. Something interesting can happen tomorrow, and we're going to take a couple of calls here, and I just want to set this up here real quick, and then we'll take a couple calls here. So I know we got a few people hanging on the line. If the Lakers win tomorrow, something very interesting happens. I've been hearing people since yesterday, right after the Lakers ended up locking the number 7 seed, right after, or the 8 seed, and we'll play in the playing game tomorrow, and right after the Denver Nuggets locked up the number 2 seed. I'm hearing a lot of this conversation, and listen, I want to tell everybody, I get where you're coming from. Anybody that's saying, hey, tomorrow the Lakers should find a way to lose to avoid the Denver Nuggets in the first round, I get where you're coming from. I'm honestly, I understand the strategy. I understand the game plan. I understand why you want to avoid the Denver Nuggets. But let me just play out for you, from my perspective, just what you're asking the Lakers to do. What you're asking the Lakers to do tomorrow against the Pelicans is basically say, hey, we were just up 32 against this squad on Sunday. In two critical games against the Pelicans clearly are not ready for it. You guys remember the Lakers had in the in-season tournament semifinals. I had it written down here. What was the score? Let me try to find it here real quick. Anyways, I know they won by 30-plus points in that game. And then the next big-time game that the Pelicans have against the Lakers, they completely fold against the Lakers. So you're asking the Lakers to basically try not to beat a team that clearly they have advantages against. And then what you're asking the Lakers to do is wait a couple of days, come back down out to Crypto.com Arena, and play either the Golden State Warriors and the Sacramento Kings in a one-game playoff to determine whether you continue your season or if your season is done. And then what you're hoping for is then you win that one-game playoff against two teams that 1,000% can beat you in one game. If you told me this was a seven-game series against the Warriors, I'd tell you the Lakers are going to win. If you told me this was a seven-game series against the Sacramento Kings, I would tell you the Lakers are going to win because Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter are not playing. That's why. I have no other data to tell you why the Lakers would win, but clearly not having those two players has dramatically hurt the Sacramento Kings, and that's not the same team anymore. I don't pay as much attention to, well, what did the Lakers do against the Kings and the Warriors this year? They were 1-7, but again, the Kings, without Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter, are a completely different team, and you could tell and you could see it. That's number one. And number two, the last two games that the Lakers played the Warriors, Anthony Davis didn't play for three quarters of a game, and Anthony Davis didn't play in that final game that came last week. So I think the stats of what their record is, I feel like it's a little bit misleading. So we're supposed to ask the Lakers to avoid winning a game, play in a one-game playoff that they can easily lose because De'Aaron Fox, DeMontis Sabonis, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, Jonathan Kuminga, there's some good players on the other team as well, just to dodge the Denver Nuggets. All of that to avoid a team that you'll probably have to play down the road if you did get past the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then if you did get past, let's see, who would it be? You'd play the winner of the Dallas Mavericks and the Los Angeles Clippers. I mean, really, is that the game plan? Like, are the Lakers, that's supposed to be the conversation that happens inside the locker room, is dodge the Denver Nuggets to the best of your ability, and in order to do so, also potentially end your season on Friday. And I think there is something about karma, turning the gas on, turning the gas off, or putting your foot down on the gas. I'm not a fan of the strategy. I don't think the Lakers will be a fan of the strategy. I don't think that's going to happen coming up tomorrow. It sounds like a really bad idea, but I understand why Laker fans are saying do everything you possibly can to avoid the Denver Nuggets. So in a sense, I see where you're coming from. Let me take a couple calls here, and we'll continue the conversation. Let's go to Joe from Westlake Village. Joe, what's going on? Thank you for calling in, buddy.
No problem. Yeah, I've been listening to you, and it's hard to kind of process that and think that they would throw a game. They won't. Obviously, they're going to try their hardest, but I think the best matchup would be obviously getting OKC if you can and having that second game at home where you have a better chance if you win that game, and then you have a better chance against OKC. I think they're undefeated against OKC this season, right?
They went 3-1 against the Thunder. It's a bad matchup for OKC. It's a bad matchup. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do it, but Denver has our number, and I think Sacramento, as you said, is hurting, and Oakland, the Warriors shot their best game, it seemed like, against the Lakers the other day. AD wasn't playing, and they were shooting the lights out. You think Draymond's going to make 5 threes again to start the game? I don't see that happening.
I don't, but I also say, and I appreciate you calling in, Joe, I also think it's just – anyone can win in one game, period. There's just no question about it. Anybody can win in one game. So I get a little bit of fearful with that strategy. Let me take another quick call here. John from L.A. John, what's going on? Thank you for calling in.
What's up, man? Hey, listen. Let's say the Lakers win and they beat New Orleans by 30 points again.
Okay.
Only to come up against Denver. They got our number. Let somebody else take a couple of cracks at them. If you lose and you come up against Golden State, I take LeBron and AD in a one-game series. We talk about that all the time. If you had one game, who do you want? And it's LeBron and AD. They are not going to put up those numbers. Draymond's not going to put up 5 threes. Sacramento's hurt. We'll have an advantage. We'll be playing them at home. There is absolutely no reason. This is a Bill Belichick move. I mean, I think you've got a long-term plan this. We don't know how many years left of Lakers health and LeBron health we got left. Maximize your chances this year. So what if we make it to the first round and we lose to Denver in 5? Nobody's going to be excited about that. Lakers want to make a deep run. The only way to make a deep run is try to delay Denver as much as possible.
John, appreciate you calling in. Thank you for calling in. Okay. By the way, maybe there's more Laker fans that feel this way, and I'm just getting exposed to it. So if you feel the same way as John or you disagree with him, you could feel free to call in as well, 877-710-ESPN. I think there's a difference here between what John is trying to say. John is trying to say you want to make a deep run. Lakers made a deep run. They did that last year. They got to the Western Conference Finals. To be honest with you, if they got to the Western Conference Finals again this year and lost to the Denver Nuggets, I don't really feel any different than I felt a year ago. The only difference that I would feel is last year was more surprising. This year it's, okay, well, they did that again. If the goal is, let's go try to win an NBA championship, if that's the goal for the Los Angeles Lakers, I don't think there's a championship team out there dodging another team. I don't believe that. Let's talk about that when we come back. And plus, I got some thoughts on Anthony Davis. Played 76 games for the Lakers this year. Obviously, that's a career high for him. We'll do that as well. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, I appreciate you guys hanging out. Little Lakers talk. We got about another half hour or so. Just a quick reminder, tomorrow, I mean, let's get started right in the morning with us, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Sedano and Cap will be on in the morning. Me and T-Raj will take you from 10 a.m. to 1, as always, and then Mason and Island will go till 3 o'clock. I'll start pregame show from there, and then we got tip-off coming up at 4:30. So a lot going on tomorrow. Make sure you're tuned in all day, and I appreciate everybody hanging out on YouTube as well. 877-710-ESPN. I want to go back to a caller that we just had, and the caller was making a case that the Lakers should tank tomorrow. Don't win tomorrow. By the way, listen, let me properly explain this. I say go beat the Pelicans. And if you beat the Pelicans, go take on the Denver Nuggets. I mean, I understand this concept and this idea of dodging the competition. If in front of you is the Pelicans, just go beat the Pelicans. And if you go play another round against the Denver Nuggets, I get it. Denver has owned the Lakers. No question about it. No question about it. They've owned the Lakers. But can I just say this about the Lakers-Nuggets matchup? Lakers are 0-8 in their last 8 games. So I'm not trying to make an argument. Watch out. Lakers are going to go beat them, and I wouldn't have much data to prove that. But is it safe to say that these are not all blowouts, that these games are not it's not like every time the Lakers play the Denver Nuggets, they're losing by 15 or 20 points? I remember a game last year. It was game 2 of the NBA playoffs, and this is when I thought, oh, man, we're going to have a series. It was game 2 in Denver. I was on the road for those first 2 games there with John and Michael. And I remember sitting there, and Lakers had they had come out to like a 11-point lead. They're just playing good basketball. Jamal Murray took over the game in the fourth quarter. And every defensive play that the Lakers tried to run, Jamal Murray's hitting shots over everybody, hitting shots over Anthony Davis. Jokic had a couple ridiculous shots. I want to say Jamal Murray scored 20-plus points in just that fourth quarter against the Lakers. I'm not trying to tell you here that I have a case. I can't make a case that the Lakers would beat the Denver Nuggets. But the case I would make for you is I do feel like the Lakers would play them competitively, and you don't know if one or two games flip the way they flipped in favor of the Denver Nuggets if all of a sudden we have a series here. It's 1-1 after 2 games. It's 2-2 after 2 games. I don't think that's crazy to think that that could potentially happen, giving Denver all the credit in the world. But just so I understand, you want to be a championship team and literally try to lose a game so you can avoid the defending NBA champions. If it happens naturally, cool. If the Lakers played the Pelicans tomorrow, which somebody want to explain to me why Vegas has them as a 1.5-point favorite. I can't figure it out. Maybe they know something we don't know. But if the Pelicans played the Lakers yesterday and it was a hard-fought game, and all of a sudden Pelicans now are hitting 23-pointers and Zion's having a game and maybe AD got into foul trouble or maybe D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves and some of these other role players for the Lakers, maybe they just didn't – they were having a bad shooting night. And in the fourth quarter, 3 minutes left to go, that game is tied, and the Lakers just naturally lost that game. Okay, you earned that eighth spot so that the season isn't over. You earn that spot to then go at Crypto.com Arena and take on either the Warriors and the Sacramento Kings, and you naturally, potentially, avoided the Denver Nuggets. You get the Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round. That, to me, sounds like a much – that sounds much more of a competitive path than let's avoid – let's lose to the Pelicans to avoid this team, to then avoid that team, and to go from there. I'm going to take a couple calls here because I do think there are some people that have an opinion on this. Let's go to Mark from L.A. Mark, what's going on? Thank you for calling in.
Hey, so I agree with you. I mean, what happened to the Laker fans, man? I mean, I'm starting to believe our city is crumbling with its fans. We got to trust the process. We got to trust the Lakers. We got to put our confidence in them. I mean, we got to win tomorrow. And if we face the Nuggets, so what?
Then we face the Nuggets.
It's the first round.
I'm with you.
Yeah, we face the Nuggets. You know, I mean, you know, why are we backing out because the Nuggets, we're facing the Nuggets in round one? I mean, we got to pick them up, man. It's almost like we lost it. We got to have confidence in our team. We got to put the faith. I mean, it's been like this all year. And now that we found our grit, now the fans are saying, no, lose this one. And so we avoid the Nuggets. You hear how that sounds?
Here's the funny thing, Mark. With all that being said, and I appreciate you calling in, I'm going to try to squeeze in a couple more calls here. I get where they're coming from. I get the Nuggets are the favorites to win it again. I get you're 0-8 in your last game, 8 games against the Denver Nuggets. But last year, you know what happened just naturally? Naturally, the Lakers got the number 7 spot. Naturally, they got to play the Memphis Grizzlies and got a little fortunate that, you know, clearly Ja Morant, Brandon Clark, Steven Adams, there was a lot of injuries there. Then they got fortunate that they got the Golden State Warriors, and the Warriors just don't have the size. And they happen to face the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. I would say this. If it naturally happens again, cool. If you got them in the first round, and let's just say the Lakers get bounced in the first round by Denver, which there's a very strong likelihood that would happen. Okay, well, now you're losing in the first round, and you know that you can't have an offseason. Everyone is still trying to address the Denver Nuggets, and you're another team trying to address them. All right, let's grab another quick call here. Let's go to Anthony from Burbank. Anthony, what's going on, buddy? Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Alan. I have a couple of reasons why the Lakers should avoid Denver. First of all, Denver has these tall wings like Aaron Gordon, who's 6'10", and Porter, who's 6'11". Lakers don't have the size to guard these people. We need Jared Vanderbilt healthy. If you give another few weeks or so, if you get Vando back, that will really help us against a team like Denver. Also, the games against Sacramento and Golden State that we lost, that was early in the season. The Lakers were not playing well. And if we play Sacramento and Golden State,
that was
home,
March.
We'll beat those.
Anthony, that was March. That wasn't. I agree that there are circumstances with the Warriors and the Sacramento Kings. I'm just telling you, and I appreciate you calling in. I'm telling you, if you try playing this game of, you know what, let's sit a couple of guys, or let's not put our foot on the gas against the Pelicans. Now I'm thinking we're going to lose against the Warriors or the Sacramento Kings in that one game playoff. Guys, it's one game. You got to understand something. This is not – I agree that 7-game set against Sacramento with the injuries that they have, I agree. Like, I don't disagree with that conversation that the Lakers would beat them. If Monk and Herter were there, I don't agree because they've already beat the Lakers 4 times this year. And I think Warriors is just a bad matchup. Lakers are a bad matchup for the Warriors. One game. And there's just something about – there's something about dodging a team that doesn't sit right. All season long, the Lakers were just trying to get out of this 9-10 spot. The moment they get out of the 9-10 spot, they're all of a sudden supposed to take their foot off the gas. And I appreciate you guys explaining it to me of what your perspective is. I don't think there's anything anyone can tell me that would change my opinion on this. If you get the freaking Nuggets in the first round, then you get the Nuggets. Deal with it. Deal with it. If the Nuggets were the number one seed and you had a chance tomorrow to avoid the Denver Nuggets, then now that's in your hands. Then that is something that you've earned or you can control. I just don't like that perspective. I just really don't. Okay, there are a couple other things I want to get into here, and I want to do this one real quick on AD. Michael Funches had sent me some stats on Anthony Davis, and it's interesting just to kind of look at where Anthony Davis was coming into the year, what our confidence level was on Anthony Davis before the season started, the question of how available will Anthony Davis be. Here's what Anthony Davis did this year. And there's a reason why I'm bringing this up, because I think in the last week, I don't know if a lot of those doubts are starting to creep back up or no, we're good. No issues moving forward. AD just played 76 games for the Lakers. 76 games for the Lakers. That's insane. I've said this a couple times. I remember even doing this before the year started. If somebody told you AD is going to play 70 games, you in? I'm sorry. If AD was going to play 60 games, are you in? Every Laker fan would be like, of course I'm in. The hell are you talking about? I'll take 60 games in a heartbeat. He ended up playing 76 games. AD ended up averaging just under 25 points, shot 56% from the field, 12.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists. And we see when Anthony Davis is not in a game, the impact that he has on both offensively and defensively, I would say even more defensively, how much everything changes for the Lakers. I will say that the last week for AD, even though he played 76 games this year, even though I started feeling like, okay, hey, the guy's available, no problem, it's kind of been a weird week. Over the last week, you had Anthony Davis miss three quarters because of an injury he suffered to his eye, had the nausea and headache that, I mean, I'm assuming that still had to do with that injury, misses a game against the Golden State Warriors. Yesterday, his back tightens up, and he has back spasms. So he's actually listed right now as questionable on the status report for the Lakers. Now, do I feel like there's any fear that he won't play? No, I really don't. I don't feel like there's any fear there. I think he will play. But I also feel like you cashed in 76 games, and in this last week, it's AD's playing. He's not playing. He's questionable. I really, really, really hope for AD's sake here, because he's done such an incredible job this year and he's been available this year, that he's good to go tomorrow. And then once the Lakers get in the playoffs and they got the Denver Nuggets in the first round, that Anthony Davis is not just available, but he's a beast like he's always been and gets to add to what he's done this year and not have any hesitations or step backs or any questions about his health because he was so available this year. Okay, when we come back, we got crunch time coming up with Funches. I got a couple NBA stories that I want to get into, and just really let's take a look at some of the best first round playoff matches that are coming. We'll do that all coming up next. Stay right here. Lakers Talk 710 ESPN. All right, what's going on, fellas? Can I just get this real quick from the both of you? Funches, your thought first. How do they approach tomorrow? Are you buying into this Denver Nuggets
no,
kind
man.
Of avoid
just,
or no?
Let's just win tomorrow and worry about Denver okay. when we could, because the interesting point about Denver is that we're going to be the most healthiest against Denver. If okay. we met them in like the conference finals, we might not be so healthy.
DeAndre, where do you fall on this?
Win tomorrow, man. Win tomorrow. And just get okay. ready to play Denver. That's all.
We might be outnumbered. I feel like a lot of the callers were saying, let's just avoid the Nuggets altogether. Nothing I could do there. Okay. Funch, what do you got over there?
All right. Let's start with Team USA.
Okay.
This came from Shams today. I'm trying to open it up right here. Jeez. Team USA announced what the 11 of their 11 of their 12 guys.
Okay.
So here we go. It sounds like the Avengers here, Slee.
Okay.
Steph Curry, LeBron James.
Okay, pretty
Kevin
good.
Durant.
He's all right.
Jason Tatum.
Never heard of him.
Joel Embiid.
Okay.
Devin Booker.
Still don't understand why Embiid is on USA.
Tyrese
okay.
Halliburton.
Got
Anthony
it.
Edwards, Drew Holiday.
Oof.
Bam Adebayo. Okay. And our very own Anthony Davis.
Damn.
What do you think
what
about
hell are you
that?
Supposed to do with that team?
And now, let me just throw one more name out there. Shams is reporting the next name, the 12th guy, will be Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a dynamite.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you do with that? If you're another country out there, you're hoping that either Team USA has a bad night or the one thing I will say, and this is the only shot that the rest of the world has, and there's so much great talent around the world. The problem is they're not all from one country like the United States. They're spread across the world. And if Joel Embiid is even deciding, hey, he's going to represent the USA, can't really do much about that. But we've seen this before. I mean, you guys remember the Redeem team. They played Spain. That's against Pau Gasol. Who else was on that team? Rudy Fernandez.
Luis Scola.
Yep, that's right. You got Marc Gasol was on that team too. I think they could show that as much talent as you have, some of these guys have been playing together for so long.
True.
They could at least put up a fight. But on paper, I don't know how the hell anyone's hanging with that team.
And to your point, Slee, you got the vets and the young players. To your point, Slee, some of these guys have been playing every year in All-Star games. So there might be some, you know, continuity, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and I think that just – again, I think what it comes down to ultimately, they just got so much talent. So I don't know how anybody's going to beat that.
Yeah. Give me
another one here because I know we're coming close to time.
Okay. So OKC's coach, head coach Mark Daggett.
Yep.
He just got a coach of the year, got a voted coach of the year. What do you think? OKC's number one in the West. What do you think about that decision right there?
I love it. I really, really love it. You know, I feel bad, but it's okay. This is part of the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're ahead of schedule. Can I just remind everybody, the Oklahoma City Thunder won 57 games in the West. They're the number one seed in the Western Conference. That is such an unbelievable accomplishment, not for that organization, but just the mere fact that they have so many young players, the front office, the coaching staff, the players that they got on that team. I'm really curious to see who ends up in that number eight spot. Who knows? It might be the Lakers. We might be watching one of those matchups, depending on what happens tomorrow. But whether that's New Orleans, Sacramento, or the Golden State Warriors, tell me another story. And I know it's not the sexy story, but tell me another story that's as impressive as what the Oklahoma City Thunder have done. The man deserves it. Let's see if Jalen Williams ends up winning the most improved player. That could probably happen. I don't think Shea's going to win MVP, but I know he's a top three vote getter. So, well-deserved for Oklahoma City Thunder.
The craziest stat about OKC, the youngest team in the league.
How is that possible?
Age average.
The average is 24, I believe.
How is that possible? By the way, that's why nobody is picking. Okay, let me ask both of you guys here real quick, and I know we're coming up to time. Let's say it's OKC versus Sacramento in the first round. Who do you guys taking in that series?
I'm taking OKC.
I'm taking OKC. What are you taking, DeAndre?
I'm taking OKC.
Okay, what if they play the Warriors in the first round?
Ooh, Warriors, I'm sorry.
What do you think?
Got to go Golden State.
I think I'm going OKC.
Ooh, man.
I think I'm going OKC.
It's a new era now, huh?
The certain matchups that won't do well for the Thunder are the Lakers, teams that are bigger, teams that are stronger, and I don't really feel like Golden State has that. Now, I might be wrong, but I guess I'm giving more respect than I thought to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Okay, great stuff, guys. I know we're coming to a close here, so just a quick reminder. So Lakers and the Pelicans tomorrow, it's going to be the in-season tournament. They're at New Orleans. Tip-off's going to be at 4:30. Pre-game show's going to be at 3. Start tuning in tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. We're going to have all your coverage around Lakers basketball. So hang out with us all day tomorrow. Beto will be handling the post-game as well. So we got a full day of Lakers basketball. Make sure to hang out right here. Thank you to Michael Funches, Mario Ruiz, DeAndre Hawkins, Graham Metzger, L.A. Appreciate you guys hanging out, and have a great rest of your night.